All right, today we're talking about the final glaze, the final glaze. You know, most pottery vessels, this is going to be tricky. In most pottery vessels, they put a glaze on the pottery. They don't put a glaze on all the pots. Some pots don't have a glaze, but the pots that have a glaze on them, that finishing glaze, it protects the pots, the clay pots, against dirt and against, you know, it's a protection. And so with us too, there's a glazing process that is needed on every Christian to protect us. Now the scripture that we have been reading right through the week is, "But now, O Lord, thou art our potter, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hands." During the preparation, when I was sitting in our dining room at home, opposite the dining room table, there's a kitchen cupboard with a glass front. And in this kitchen cupboard, there is the most exquisite and beautiful French bone china tea set. Now, the sheen or glaze process on a bone china is very nice. But this one is a cream set, and every cup and saucer is beautifully painted on with fine, very fine, delicate flowers. Now, I must be honest, this set is so fine of texture, so delicate, so thin that I'm scared to use it. My mom had bought it at an antique sale, and she had given it to me. So there it is, beautiful. Now, when you look at the set from a distance, it looks as if all of them have got the same patterns of flowers on them. But, you know, when you pick each cup out up, you find that each little cup, each saucer, each side plate has got a different painting. It looks the same from the distance, but each cup, each plate, each saucer was individually painted. Everyone is different. Those delicate, fine, little exquisite drawings. It reminds me of the potter who works on us individually. He loves each of us, me and you. And he sought us out to claim us uniquely as his own, to take infinite patience with us individually, to go to enormous lengths, to shed his precious blood, to change us on the wheel, to change us with a scalpel, to become the beautiful, individually decorated, as it were, clay vessel that he intended for us before we were born. But you know what is so wonderful, that I think is wonderful, is that we aren't mass-produced. Have you ever been to a factory where you see it's just the things pop out one after another? Now, when I was homeschooling, there was a hilarious French teaching video. And in it, there was a king and a queen. And they had a daughter. And this princess was loved by two men. And of course, the one man was a rogue and the other one was a good man. He was actually the gardener. But anyway, this rogue loved his computer, and he was always working and designing and inventing things on the computer. And then with all his inventing, he suddenly came across the connection that made him duplicate things. So what did he do? He had the picture of the princess, and he did all his workings with his long fingers, and out popped 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, and suddenly, it was so funny, the palace was just running with hundreds of identical princesses, and nobody knew who the real one was. It's part of the story. But isn't it so wonderful that that's not how God works with us? He doesn't press a button, and then we are identical, saved replicas. We're not automatic. It's not an automatic duplication with no will or say. No, the potter calls us individually to respond to him. We are individually made into new creatures. We are individually the work of his hand, uniquely beautiful and uniquely different. I marvel at the workmanship of the heavenly potter in lives. Now, on the opposite cupboard, there is another set. Now, this set is not bone china. And it's much thicker, and it's got rougher cups. In fact, they are miniature cups and saucers and side plates with little children running all over the cups and saucers. Not real children, but paintings. Now, when Glenn, my grandson, of course, had his first birthday, Jerusalem asked me if I could arrange a little party for him. They happened to be visiting us. and I had a few people over and quite a lot of children. And I put them on the long kitchen table, and out came these cups, saucers, the little miniature teapots, the milk jugs, the sugar bowls, and the kids had this wonderful party with their own miniature tea sets. So the cups were much thicker than the French ones. I wasn't afraid to take them out, to handle them. I was happy for the children to handle them. I think I need both sets in our house. If the Queen came for tea, I would take out the French set. When the children come, I like the sturdy ones. Each is made for a set purpose, and to me, each is equally needed. If the Queen's carriage broke down on her visit to South Africa and she was forced to knock on my door, I would not be in a problem. I would immediately take out those wonderful cups and saucers. If I had another children's party, which happens, I've got the cups ready for it. We must never underestimate our worth to the potter. We might see ourselves as a delicate version, or we may see ourselves as the more sturdy version. Our aim in life is to be used by the potter, where he needs us and what he wants us to do for him. We mustn't argue about our lot in life, how the potter made us. We must rather submit and seek to be all he wants, all he chooses, right where he has placed us. My mom is in frail care 1 year, 2 house moves, she lost my dad, and then she lost the house she stayed in. She's in a single room without even a toilet onto the room because she's so frail. And somebody said to me, how's she doing? I said, you know what, she's actually doing extremely well. And then this lady said to me on the phone, she said, you know why she's doing well? It's because she accepts what God allows and she doesn't fight against it. That is why she has settled in so well and the people love her. Let us not argue with the potter and fight with him. Woe to him, unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands, Isaiah 45 verse 9. Instead of kicking against your role in life, rather rejoice that the potter has a place for each one of us individually, a specific work for each one of us, and let us not envy another's sphere or circumstances. Dear Lord, envy consumed me against the vessel's prize, so delicate and special, constantly glorified. My place seems far more mundane, upon a lower sphere, continually unnoticed, as if not really here. But when there's work, I'm needed. They rush right to my door. Yes, then for help and guidance they earnestly implore. O Lord, let me be grateful. I am equipped for work. Therefore, in this sphere given, no duty will I shirk. Now today we're talking about the final glaze, the finishing touches that are needed for the pot. And I'm looking at three finalies in the Bible. Three of the finalies. The first one is in Ephesians 6 verse 10. It says, finally my brethren, the finishing touch, finally my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going home at the end of camp. For some, camp has been a place of protection, and we don't feel strong enough to face the challenges at home. Criticism, harsh treatment, even punishment because you've had such a good time. And you say, I can't face it. Perhaps you're from a Christian home, and you also feel you can't cope with what awaits you because you've been at camp, and there's going to be so much expectation that your behavior is going to be better when you get home. And you're ill-equipped, you're scared, and you don't want to face what lies ahead. The real world after the Bible-infused camp time. What does the verse say to us? Be strong. You say, oh, it's all very well to say be strong. You don't know what I face. No one is strong enough to deal with my situation. But wait, let's look further. What are the words that follow? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Of course we're not strong enough. We cannot meet the challenges. We find our situation difficult. We can't cope with what awaits us. Our strength is from the potter. We rely on his might, his power, he's equipping us, and he's right with us. He's just a call away when we feel that we cannot cope. Our tender, ever-ready, open-eared, compassionate potter. I love the verse in Isaiah 41 verse 10 which says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." We're not alone in this situation. The mighty potter will strengthen us, knowing exactly what we are facing. He knows the situation. We can rely on him to cope with the situation. "I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I think once before I told you about Noel when he was at his preschool, a little school that was only for grade 1, 2, and 3. And they don't believe in competitive sport, but they had a swimming gala, and you don't swim. You stand in the swimming bath and you run to the end of the swimming bath. And that's what they called a swimming gala. And Noel and everybody, they were there in their little costumes, the little boys, and they were all getting ready for the swim. But there was one little dwarf. He was so tiny. And literally only his nose practically stuck out of the water. And they said, "What are we going to do? We can't let this child fail out." So the teacher was there. And they all stood in a row, and he was on the edge, and the teacher held his hand very firmly. And he was part of the race. And he was so proud to be part of the race. He didn't come first, but he was able to compete with him, to be part of everything. And in the same way, God promises he will strengthen us. He will uphold us. He will hold our hand. The waters might seem high for us to deal with, but with his hand in ours, we don't have to fear. The little boy was petrified. The water was so high that if he landed in it, he'd scream in fear and cry. But his teacher held out her hand and firmly clasped his own. He stood upright because he knew he would not walk alone. The water just as deep as when he squirmed in fear and alarm, but now with confidence he walked. No thought he'd come to harm. "I too am petrified," you say, "to face life way back home." But God holds out his hand and says, "My child, you're not alone. Each step you have to take, I'll be right there, not far away. Therefore, my precious child, take heart. I'm with you every day." God wants us to go back to our families, to be a light to them, to be a witness to him, to be vessels full of him and reflecting him. Remember the little boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes? That's all he had. I can imagine him looking around him and seeing, "Oh goodness, there's such a lot of people around us." And the people were starting to get hungry. And I'm sure they were starting to express that they were hungry. And I'm sure there were grumbles in the crowd. And nobody had any lunch, and only he had his lunch. And I so often wonder if that little boy was too scared to even take his lunch out. But of course, how can you eat your lunch when there's so many hungry eyes looking at you? And Peter knew about the little boy, and I also used to wonder if Peter wanted to eat his lunch. But what does the Lord Jesus say to the little boy? He says, "Can you give it to me? Can you give it to me? Lord, it's only 5 loaves and 2 fishes." But he gave it. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He made those 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed the multitude. It was magnified in the Lord's home. In the Lord's hands. You're going home. You feeling inadequate to testify, to be a light. You're too small, you think, to handle the situation. The knowledge you have as a vessel of clay is just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all you know. What does the mighty potter do? He took what the boy had. And so he wants to take just where you are, what you have, and to use it if it's given over to him. The little boy was hidden amidst the sprawling crowd, a little lunchbox with him, with food for the day starred. Everyone seemed to realize that food was their great need. Perhaps they turned to each other for a morsel to plead. But no one seemed to have it except this little child. 2 fishes and 5 bread rolls into his basket piled. "Will you give up what you have?" the master asked the child. I want it for the people. Into his hand was piled. God used that little offer. His hand it multiplied. No longer any hunger. Their food God had supplied. You're going home with nothing but that within your hand. Your fear, your weakness, God doth totally understand. But his strength is the answer to help you face each day. Do not falter and give up. Be steadfast on your way. Be strong because he is strong. Rely on him alone to help you stand and conquer right there within the home. We don't look at what you are, what you have in your hand, to reach out to your family and friends, but what God can do with what you have. Hand it over to the potter. Let him use the little loaves and fishes. Perhaps the loaves and fishes in your hand are just patience when you're irritated. A smile of encouragement to someone who's down. A hand outstretched to help a mother when she is tired. Refusing to do wrong and eager to obey with the things that are right. Let God use you. Let God strengthen yourself in the Lord. Depend on him so that your vessel is glazed and shining, a shining sheen to reflect the Lord Jesus' face himself to the unsaved around you. Now the next finally is Philippians 3 verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord and in the power of his might. You might say, I haven't got anything to rejoice about. Life is hard. Work is hard. I'm a vessel that has a lot of wear and tear. I feel neglected. I feel overlooked. We are called to rejoice in the Lord. How? We rejoice that he died on the cross for us. We rejoice that he shed his blood for us. And that we are his special concern. And that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He sought you out. He sought me out. He loves me. He allowed me to be at girls' camp. He allowed each one of us to hear his voice. We rejoice in his patience despite our mistakes. He still loves us. We revel in the fact that he's beside us with an outstretched hand to pick us up if we fall. Don't get despondent if you do fall. Confess immediately and let him cleanse you and lift you up again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All we must do is reach out our hand and he can pick us up and strengthen us anew if we fail. What does holding out my hand mean? I admit I failed. I admit I've fallen. I admit I cannot do it alone. I need thy forgiveness. I need thy help, Lord. Oh, help me not to stumble over the same place again, same stones again. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. The potter tenderly awaits our call for help. He patiently waits beside us. We rejoice that he sees all we go through. Nothing is hidden from him. He goes with us in every situation. And we need to be grateful for our blessings. Rejoice in the Lord, but rejoice in the small things in the life that God, that show God's goodness to us. I'm sure you've all read Pollyanna. Remember Pollyanna and that missionary box that came? She was praying for a doll, and she opened it, and what fell out? Crutches. And she couldn't believe. I mean, how could God answer her prayer? And then her father says to her, Pollyanna, be thankful that you don't need the crutches. And I think there's always something to be grateful for. We're not grateful for if your car breaks down, if your father dies, if you're in an accident. You rejoice in the Lord. You rejoice in the Lord. So he is the one we rejoice in. But apart from that, there's a lot that we can be thankful for in life. Right. Now the last finally is that I'm going to do is the finally that helps us survive in the world we live in. to fill our mind, I think Alicia said it the other day too, to fill our mind with true things, beautiful things. There's such horrid things on the internet. There's such immoral music doing the rounds. The news is so depressing. It gives us weak knees. We wonder how we can stay confident and full of joy in the kind of world we live in. But as the final glaze protects the clay against smudges, this verse shows us as Christians how to counteract the wrong that we are brushing against every day. Philippians 4:18 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, I might have told you at previous years about the minister who brought a message how disillusioned he was that so many Christian workers and Christians have fallen and actually fallen into bad sin. And then he came to the conclusion that so many of them are so focused on following the Lord that they do not have a healthy diversion, as it says to us in Philippians 4 verse 8. It's so good to have a hobby, something you're interested in that's clean and honest and pure and lovely. Find something you love doing it and do it as a recreation, whether your hobby is painting, needlework, card making, cooking, gardening, any of these things. It can be a way of escape in the stress times in your life. But we must never forget that our true vocation is to be a witness for the Lord. That is our calling. That is why he sought us out and he took us into his hands, is that we can reflect him to other people. We must never lose sight of the purpose for every clay pot that belongs to the potter. Now, there was an article in the Sourceworth Discovery House by J. Kirk Johnston. He tells a true story of Roger Sims, who was hitchhiking home. It was the 7th of May. It was a red letter day in his life that he would never forget. He was tired. He had a heavy suitcase. He was in his army uniform. And he couldn't wait to take that uniform off. And he was hitchhiking. But no cars were stopping. And suddenly this black, sleek, new Cadillac came into view. And he couldn't believe his eyes. It actually stopped. He ran to the car. He was so delighted. He tossed his suitcase into the back and he thanked this good-looking, well-dressed man in the front seat. "Are you going home for keeps?" the man asked. "Sure am." "Well, you're in luck," said the man. "I'm going all the way to Chicago." He said, Roger said, I don't live as far as that. I just live short of Chicago. "But do you live there?" "Yes," said the man. "My name is Hanover and I've got a business there." And they spoke as they traveled about lots of things. But all the time, Roger was a Christian and he felt burdened to witness to that man. But he put it off and he put it off and he put it off. And it got to 30 minutes before drop-off. And he thought, now or never. So he said, "Mr. Hanover, I want to talk to you about something very important. I want to explain the way of salvation to you. There's no other name under heaven whereby we may be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And he explained further and further, and suddenly the car went and he stopped at the side of the road. And Roger thought, "Oh no, I'm going to be kicked out of the car." But Mr. Hanover turned round to him and said, "Shall we pray?" And he prayed and asked God to save him. And then he thanked Roger for witnessing to him. And he said, "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life." Shortly after that, Roger was dropped off and Mr. Hanover rode on. Years later, I think it was 5 years later, Roger was already married. He had a wife. He had a little boy of his own. And he had to do business in Chicago. And suddenly he finds the white business card that Mr. Hanover had given him 5 years before. So he looked up the directory and he found Hanover Enterprises. And he goes to the business and he thought he'll just ask him how he's doing. When he gets to the front of the reception, the lady says to him, "I'm sorry, it's impossible for you to see Mr. Hanover." He's surprised, startled, he's confused. But then suddenly there's a little beep, beep, beep. And then the receptionist says, you can go through to that office. And he goes into the office and there's a keen-eyed woman, attractive woman in her 50s sitting behind the desk. And she holds out her hand and she said, did you know my husband? And then he told her about his lift and the hitchhiking in the uniform and at the end of the war. And she asked, what day? What day? And he said, the 7th of May. And she looked at him a while. She was silent. She said, have you got anything particular to share to me about that day? He hesitated. Should he tell that he witnessed or should he not? And then he thought, now or never again. And he started telling her how he had witnessed to her, this man, Mr. Hanover, and how he had accepted the Lord as his Savior. And suddenly the woman just broke into sobs, and she sobbed and sobbed uncontrollably and loudly. And he said, what's going on? He said, are you Mrs. Hanover? What's going on? So she said, you know, I prayed for my husband for years and years, and I always believed God would save him. But she said, I thought all these years that God hadn't saved him. He says, but where is he? She said, he died in a car crash shortly after he must have dropped you. He died on the 7th of May. And she said, you know, with convulsive sobs, she said, you know, I stopped living for God. I was so angry with God because I thought he hadn't answered my prayer. My husband had died and he'd never accepted the Lord. Oh, I'm so grateful that he stopped at the side of the road. I'm so grateful to you that you witnessed him. I can't believe it. God did answer my prayer. And how grateful Rogers was that he wasn't silent in the first place and he wasn't silent in the second place. One of our main things as living pots of clay is to reflect the Lord Jesus, to shine, to witness so that others will be reached for him. Don't be silent, but witness when God opens the door. To witness to somebody with his word, them implore. You do not know tomorrow. Your chances may have sped. The person who was with you the next day could be dead. God calls us to be faithful, a vessel filled with him that shows all whom they may meet, God can cleanse them from sin. Let's recap quickly. What did we do over these past few days? First of all, we started off just the lump of clay. But you're going to take out the just. We're a lump of clay sought, bought by the heavenly potter, and he longs to take us up and to cleanse us and transform us. Come, said the voice of the potter, weak and defiled though you be, I can redeem and remake you, rid you from dross and debris. And the second place, we are in the potter's hands. And who is the potter? We rejoice that he was all-powerful. He's the creator. He's the compassionate one, the loving one. We can have absolute confidence in his ability, that he can take us up. He can change us. After all, he made us physically, and he can make us spiritually. And we also have to realize he doesn't want just that he wants just us, but he wants all of us, nothing held back, as Angie testified this afternoon. Come, said the voice of the potter, I have a pattern to do. Fair is the shape of the vessel I have envisaged for you. How tragic when the Lord sees a vessel that is marred by some section unyielded, Christ's image, therefore, scarred. And then we spoke about clay on the wheel. And how the potter sometimes has to use the scalpel of loneliness, suffering, financial strain, criticism, heartache, disappointment, shattered hopes, shattered dreams. Dear Lord, I'll not resist thee, though painful on the wheel, for I can feel the sharpness, the scalpel's edge of steel. Whatever thou shouldst use, Lord, I'll not resist thy hand, but rather let thee finish the work which thou hast planned. And then we spoke about problems with the clay. The clay pots that were baked in the sun broke apart because of those little stones and pebbles that were embedded. We spoke of pride, jealousy, dissatisfaction, the world. And we showed God's word exposing what is inside, magnifying it. And the people who ignore God's word, blinded their eyes to the mirror, and didn't want to confess and ask God to cleanse them from what was wrong in their lives. The little stones thy word exposed, nothing is hid from thee. Each failing and each weakness the mirror shows to me, and thus I keep it near me, so that I quickly see if a stone is embedded, loathed and abhorred by thee. And lastly, today we spoke about the final glaze, the finishing touches. We need to rely on God's strength to equip us to go home to our family and friends. We need to rejoice in Him and thank Him for His goodness and that He is what He is. And then thirdly, we need to fill our life with good and clean things. I marvel that I'm sought out and loved by the potter. I am His workmanship, His handiwork. Now, when my mom went into an antique shop and she looked at these beautiful pieces, she knew the kind of workmanship so well that with these exquisite pieces, without looking underneath, she knew who the maker was. And in the same way, can people see in us and recognize in us that the potter's hand has been at work? God help each one of us. I marvel that within His hand this mortal clay should lie, that He should take this worthless self to cleanse and purify. His precious blood removes the dross, the sin, the guilt, the shame, so that He can impress on me His signature and name. A purpose for this lump of clay? Dear God, how can it be that Thy blessed hands should be the ones to form and fashion me? I lie submissive in Thy hands and trust Thy love and care, despite the hurting cuts and prods, to make this vessel fair. How marvelous that I should lie within the potter's hands, that He should form and fashion me according to His plan. God bless you. Let's close our eyes. Oh, Father, thank You that there is not one of us that is excluded in the invitation of the potter. And, oh, Father, bless us and equip us as each of us goes to different circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.